Well, guys, the leader of Retribution has finally been revealed. Randy Orton gets a little bit of his heat back. Shayna Baszler gets real nasty with Liv Morgan and Ruby Riott. And Keith Lee versus Braun Strowman, even though Braun Strowman's not on Raw. Yeah, we're going to get to that and so much more right after this. Are you in a position where you need to sell your home? Perhaps you're facing financial difficulties, or you're facing a foreclosure, a divorce, or maybe you're just relocating because of retirement. Maybe there are some other debt issues and you just need to sell your home. Well, here is a great solution for you. And that solution is Bright Realty Investment. They are a leading real estate solutions company, and their mission is to work hand in hand with all parties to handle every situation with the utmost professionalism and care. So if you're in a particularly stressful financial situation right now and you need to protect your credit, then don't waste another minute. Head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com. That's brightrealtyinvestment.com. And when you go to the website, there's a really easy form you fill out. It's right at the top and they'll get back to you immediately. So why wait? Don't let that divorce, that retirement, or other bad debt situation take control of your life. Take control back and head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com where they can buy your house, protect your credit, and get your life back on track. Again, head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? Because Stone Cold said so.
Alrighty, well, Monday Night Raw has come and gone. That aired last night, obviously, on October 5th, 2020. Today is the 6th, and there's a lot to discuss. There's a lot to discuss with Monday Night Raw, because really a lot happened. You know, we're creeping closer to that Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, and we're really starting to see that card take shape. We had the official, albeit very predictable, destination of Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton inside Hell in a Cell. You have to specify. You don't just say at the pay-per-view. You have to specify that it's inside the cell, and it's deserving of the cell. I think it is. We don't know what other matches may be or may not be in the cell come in a couple weeks in Hell in a Cell. We don't know, but that is confirmed for that for the championship match anyway, that it is Orton versus Drew McIntyre. So That's going to be a really good match. I think ultimately a little bit of a prediction here, but and I probably should stop picking this because I've been picking Randy Orton to win the championship for a couple of months now. But this to me seems like this would be an opportunity. Drew's had the championship now since early April. That would mean he's had the championship for 6 months, 7 months. It is time to have a new guard, and I've been a big fan of Randy Orton capturing the championship for several months now, but I love Drew as champion, you guys know that, so we'll have to see how that shakes out. But a lot of other stuff on Raw that happened, some weird things, like Braun Strowman showing up on Raw, like, what? Like, I'm not understanding this. Kevin Owens shows up on SmackDown, Braun Strowman shows up on Raw, we get explanations from no one that this is why this is happening. Adam Pearce, who is the de facto general manager that has kind of snuck up on all of us for both brands, is not doing anything other than saying, well, I'm not going to give you an official match. It's unsanctioned. But it's still a match, right? It still has the phrase match in unsanctioned match. So you're still giving somebody who's not from your brand a match on Raw. I don't care if it's unsanctioned or not because it ended in a count out anyway. So we're going to get to that, all that just infuriating. I don't even know why I'm wasting my energy anymore on WWE not being consistent with their story of a brand split. Why are we even bothering having a brand split at this point? Somebody tell me. They rarely adhere to it. They come up with wild card rules that was just awful. Then they come up with quarterly invitationals, and they've already blown that. I mean, it's just absurd. Why are we even bothering? Either do it or don't. As somebody once said, you can't be half pregnant. You either are or you aren't, right? So we're going to get to that. And I've kind of shown you my cards as far as how I felt about that. Not that I have a problem with Braun Strowman versus Keith Lee on the surface, but I've got more to talk about there. And we saw a vicious side from Shayna Baszler. Vicious, that we haven't seen in some time. So we're going to get talking about that. And the referee just letting that go. That, you know, hey, Ruby Riott's arm. But, no, we're going to let that slide. So we're going to get to that. Just so much other stuff, too. I mean, Randy Orton picks up a big win at the end of Raw. So we're going to get to all of that. But first, a couple of things. First, if you guys haven't done it yet, why? I mean, just why haven't you checked out the Botch Guy on YouTube? Please. I mean, I'm begging you. Check him out. You're doing yourself a disservice if you haven't. A guy that has so much energy and brings so much passion to the product he's watching. And it's not long form, so if you just want to get in, get out, kind of hit it and quit it type of deal on YouTube, then it doesn't require a big time commitment. It just is a fun time to check out his channel and see him react to certain moments on Raw or SmackDown or pay-per-views or anything, right? AEW even. So what are you waiting for? Head on over to The Botch Guy on YouTube, and we'll be doing a collaborative review for SmackDown Friday night. That'll be also dropping Friday night. I know, I normally don't do reviews the same night that the shows happen because I always watch them on delay, but this Friday is a different deal because the Botch Guy and I will be teaming up once again to cover night one of the draft on SmackDown. That immediately following the show, we'll be covering that here on the WWE podcast and we'll be uploading that the same night. So by Saturday morning, you guys should have a nice piece of audio to chew on. But beyond that, guys, what's going on here is we're getting a facelift pretty soon in the next couple of weeks. Probably in a couple of weeks, we'll be getting a new logo, a new intro. All right, so we're going to be investing in ourselves and coming up with some new artwork for the cover of the logo of the show, and also, like I said, coming up with a new intro, jingle-wise, maybe shortening it, kind of just polishing it up a bit. I think it's time to get things shaken up a little bit. And in the spirit of draft season of WWE, I think it's also fitting that we give ourselves a new coat of paint. So it won't happen immediately. Again, probably in the next couple of weeks. I'm working with a logo artist now. So, hey, we will get that done. And I think it'll kind of make things feel fresh and new, even though it's still me. So whether you love me or hate me, I will still be here. So it'll just be the look that's changing and the sound of our jingle. So, all right, well, let's move on here to voicemails. You guys have been blowing me up lately. You guys have been blowing me up lately with voicemails, but that's a good thing. I'm not complaining. And some of you have left me multiple voicemails, of which I can only choose one because I don't want to put on someone for a 10-minute block of time. So if you have several voicemails, I'm going to choose your last voicemail. Just simply for the fact that, it's a 3-minute limit per voicemail. And some of you left me 3, sometimes 4 voicemails, and I gotta go just go with one. But nonetheless, if you want to join the voicemail fun, you can do that at 518-952-0247. Or you can email the show at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. All right, so like I said, let's get to the first voicemail, one of a few. And then I'll respond, and we'll get to the full Raw review. But let's kick off the voicemail segment right now.
Hey, man, it's Justin from Maryland again. Just had a quick comment on The Fiend. I'm really a huge fan of his character. Just wanted to know, how would you book him moving forward? I definitely want to see him with the world title, but it's definitely a distraction. It really made me upset when he lost to Goldberg. That was really crazy. Then when Roman Reigns came back, I kind of wanted him to at least hold the title for a couple of months because he actually was good with the title. But, they keep taking the title off The Fiend. He can't even hold it for a month. He only held it for a couple of weeks each time. So just wanted to know your thoughts on The Fiend and, you know, how would you book him? Do you want to see him with the title at some point? Because I do, especially for a couple of months. He could definitely have a monster run. But, yeah, man, that's all. Thanks. And be safe.
Hey, Justin. Thanks for the call. Good question about The Fiend. There's a lot of different places they could go here. And you did point out the fact that he hasn't been champion for long. Even his two runs have been very underwhelming. He seems to be the equivalent of Sasha Banks holding a championship, meaning he can't ever successfully defend it, and he's not champion for long. That's what The Fiend feels like to me. And I know that I've said on this show, and you mentioned it too, that the championship seems like a distraction from the character. And while I felt that way in the beginning of his character and through the whole Seth Rollins debacle last year, which was an absolute debacle disaster that still is reverberating today. That's how bad Hell in a Cell was last year. I think I am ready for a long championship run with The Fiend now. He's established enough. He's worked with enough guys. The Goldberg thing was a disaster. I think that hurt his character too. Many people angry about that, but Vince sees a bigger value in having Goldberg win the championship from The Fiend, only to have Goldberg then face Braun Strowman at WrestleMania. He didn't feel as if The Fiend would have been a big enough attraction. And I think that was a mistake. That was certainly a mistake for Braun Strowman's championship run, just getting inserted into that WrestleMania match, which we still didn't get an explanation of. Zero. But back to your question with The Fiend, I think what I would do is move him to Raw, get him somehow, some way tangled up with Drew McIntyre over the next year, and put the championship on him for a long period of time. And I don't, you know, I have a problem though with The Fiend being there every week. He's a character that less is more. He's a character that is more special when you see him because you don't see him that often, which is some of the complaints people got from Brock Lesnar. He's never here. He's an absentee champion. But guess what? When he's there, ratings move. When he's there, people pay attention. And I know that Bray Wyatt is no Brock Lesnar, but the same format is true here. The same relationship of missing something makes it feel more special when it's there. So I think having The Fiend have a long run as champion, get tangled in with Drew McIntyre, and eventually, now it may not be for the championship against Drew. He could face another babyface, but I do want to see a Drew McIntyre versus Fiend program. That, to me, interests me. It interests me a lot, same as a Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns program. That really interests me as well. But The Fiend moves to Raw, gets some new opponents, maybe turns flat-out babyface. I know that he's kind of tangled in with Alexa. The Fiend's got a lot of stuff going on right now. The Fiend's got a lot going on. He's off a championship loss. He's now getting involved with Kevin Owens. He's got Alexa Bliss kind of hypnotized under his spell or whatever it is. So the Fiend's got a lot to untangle, so to speak. And I don't know how they're going to do that coming from SmackDown. Maybe Alexa Bliss comes over to Raw with him. And that's just a thought, you know, it's just a thought. Or maybe eventually he works with Roman, but you can't have two heels challenge each other for a championship of that magnitude anyway. So, yeah, I think Roman and Bray Wyatt are on separate brands. That's what I think. So, all right. Well, good question. Very involved question. I could have gone on about that for a lot longer, but let's get to the next voicemail. Thanks again, Justin. And let's get to it.
Yeah. Hi, this is Tim calling from Arlington, Texas. I was just curious with this draft coming up, starting on Friday, what you were expecting, and probably more importantly, what are you hoping for? Because for me personally, it's been like, I know supposedly we're all supposed to be, you know, the main event of the week, where SmackDown's kind of, you know, the second event of the week, but here for quite some time now, I'm much more excited for SmackDown than I am for Raw. I just wondering if maybe some, you know, if some stories got moved around or, you know, split up, they could maybe use this to break up some bad stories. I mean, honestly, Raw, the only thing going for it right now story-wise, I mean, it's got a few stories going, but for me is, you know, pretty much Randy Orton for a while. You know, ever since Edge, right, Randy Orton's story has been Raw for the longest time. I mean, they got Retribution in there, and we don't care about it. They've got Raw Underground they threw in there. We don't care about it. you know. So, I mean, I don't, there's not a whole lot I want to tune in. I mean, yeah, Seth Rollins was good for a while. I don't care about it anymore, you know. So, like, I'm not looking forward to Raw every week like I used to, where, you know, we've got, I'm very interested in The Fiend, what's going on SmackDown right now. Bayley has me very interested weekly. I want to know what's coming next, what's coming next. You know, and you can just go on and on with the stories over on SmackDown. I just want to know your opinion as far as what you thought, or more importantly, what you would like to see, more than what you think will happen, because what we think will happen is never happens. So, but anyway, that's all I got before my 3 minutes runs out. So thanks for listening.
Hey, Tim, thanks so much for calling in as always. And interesting question, one that, again, I could go into a lot of depth on this, on the answer. You mentioned Raw Underground. No Raw Underground this week. I didn't miss it. Let me tell you that. I mean, I didn't know it didn't exist until Braun Strowman told Adam Pearce that it's not here tonight. So what am I going to do? I want to have somebody get these hands. I mean, I didn't know it didn't exist. That's how much we miss it. And one other thing about this draft before I get my answers about what I think, or actually you wanted to know more what I'm hoping for rather than what I think is actually going to happen, is why the hell didn't WWE wait until post Hell in a Cell to have the draft? Because if you don't, and you have the draft before the pay-per-view, that means the matches at the pay-per-view could violate brand co-branded stars facing off against one another. So say Orton and McIntyre end up on different brands, yet they have a match set for Hell in a Cell. How does that work? Does WWE say, well, any existing matches that were at the pay-per-view will remain in place until after the pay-per-view, and then, you know, those stars go their separate ways to their brands they were drafted to? I don't know. I just don't know why they didn't do a clean break and make it the night after the pay-per-view of Monday Night Raw. Make it a draft night. Instead, they do it halfway through. I don't get it. I don't get it. But I will say this. I hope the format of the draft, what I'm hoping for, here's one that I'm hoping for that you asked about, that the format of the draft is not a war room. I don't need a war room, and I don't think they'll do it because that would, first of all, social distancing. You'd have these pretend executives from Fox and these pretend executives from USA who pretend that they know what they're actually drafting, you know, and have these people sit next to each other, even with masks on. They'd have to be pretty darn close. I don't know how the draft is going to visually work. I wouldn't even mind having it, honestly, just be just a selection. I mean, just up on the TitanTron. Raw gets, I don't know, Bayley, right? Like, I don't want it simple. I don't need it a big, drawn-out mess like it was last year. But here's what I think is going to happen. Or actually, what I hope is going to happen. That's actually a little tougher of a question. But that's fine. Keith Lee, I hope, goes to SmackDown. I do. Because I think SmackDown could use a little bit of an oomph. And Keith Lee has been a star that's been established. He beat Randy Orton to my absolute dismay. He has yet to lose a match. Braun Strowman lives on SmackDown. So wherever Braun Strowman lands is where Keith Lee will land. So I know I'm saying SmackDown, but maybe they end up both on Raw. It's hard to say because I'm seeing future programs that they've either started or could start, and I'm like, those two have to be on the same brand, so one goes with the other, but you don't know what brand they're going to land on. I would say Keith Lee goes to SmackDown. That's number one. I don't know what... I would say Orton. I would keep on Raw. I want Orton to stay on Raw because I think he's a staple of Monday Night. Monday Night is Vince McMahon's baby, right? Vince McMahon, it's his firstborn child, and SmackDown's kind of the adopted child. I mean, it's just what it is. It's felt like that since day one. And I think that Vince McMahon still views Raw as more important than SmackDown, even though he will not say that, but it comes across that way. It just has that feeling, still has that feeling 20 years later. But Randy Orton, I think, belongs on Raw. I think Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns, could this be the blockbuster move? Could these two end up swapping? Meaning, does Drew go to SmackDown and Roman Reigns comes to Raw? Very possible. In fact, I'd say likely. that you get that kind of a draft, because that would be blockbuster news and have them swap places. And don't worry, if you're looking for a Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre match, even though they're on different brands, WWE will come up with some like befuddled or non-reason, or just never explain why a person from another brand is on that their rival brand show. I shouldn't even call it rival brand, because why are brands even fighting? Brands should not be against one another. They're under the same company. It makes no sense. I don't get it. So don't worry, we'll get a whole influx of why brand superiority matters next month at Survivor Series, which is going to make me vomit. But I think the big blockbuster headline trade will be, I shouldn't even say trade, draft, Roman comes to Raw, and we have Drew go to SmackDown. I think that's going to be the big one. Now, it also begs, what about Becky Lynch? What about stars that are still not here? I think they're not going to draft them, because I think they don't know who they want or where they want them to be just yet, which is ridiculous to me. I mean, when you think about a real draft in terms of people that may be injured, you'd still draft them knowing they're a huge commodity. They're not a free agent just because you're injured. So they'll probably leave Becky Lynch's name alone. But I expect a big shakeup, and want a big shakeup actually in the women's division. I want new matchups for Bayley, who seems to have run the entire gamut of the women's division on SmackDown. So maybe she comes to Raw. I think wherever Sasha goes, she follows. So again, maybe they could still stay on SmackDown. I think this could be a complete swap, right? The big names that are on SmackDown go to Raw and vice versa. So that's what I'm expecting and hoping for. It'd be interesting to see how Bayley feels on Raw again, how Drew McIntyre feels on SmackDown, how Roman Reigns feels on Raw. I think that's going to be the big thing here. It's going to be a big shakeup. I don't think it's going to be a small adjustment. So, all right. Well, thank you so much, Tim. I know kind of a complicated answer, because it's a complicated situation. Because here's the thing, too. We have a brand split, but do we really? It seems like everyone has faced everyone. I mean, and recently, within the last year, it seems like everybody has faced everybody. It seems like we have no fresh matchups. So does it really matter who goes to where? And if WWE wants a rivalry to happen, guess what they're going to do? Just have that person come to the opposing brand without an explanation. Or they'll come up with a wild card, quarterly invitational, nonsense rule that they never follow anyway. So it doesn't really matter. I mean, the brand splits really don't matter, because there's not a brand split. Okay, next voicemail.
Good evening, good day, Matt. It's Uncle Chris again, or Chris from Switzerland, or I want to say in Swiss, grüezi wohl. How you doing? It's always a pleasure to listen to your show, and I'm doing that since months, every show, and most times while I'm working, while I'm driving my bus, mostly in the evening when streets are empty. So it's also a very cool thing to listen to you and to all your co-hosts and everyone who is a part of that show. Thank you very much for that. I have two quick thoughts for you. Here in Switzerland, as you maybe know, Antonio Cesaro is a superstar from the city of Lucerne, and he's a proud Swiss bar man and a very intelligent guy, maybe one of the most intelligent there, but also the most underrated and underused wrestler in WWE history. And I mean that by history, because the words history are used very quickly and very often these days. But in this time, I'm sure maybe you agree also with that. And if you have just from out of your mind now, in seconds, what match he could main event at WrestleMania against who? To me, it's against Edge. Antonio Cesaro against Edge could be maybe my dream match for him. And it's very sad that he has no big WWE career now. And his potential is just wasted, and that's pretty sad. My second thought is also a little match, a little bit in fantasy, but maybe it's possible, who knows. It's maybe the best mixed tag team match who could ever be in WWE history as well, to me, for my opinion. It's Zelina Vega and Aleister Black against The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, and Alexa Bliss. You can build that, absolutely, with especially with the two mystic characters of The Fiend and Aleister Black, but I don't know if WWE has that, that view and that patience to build something like that, or just to try it, or to risk something. It's pretty bad. Thank you for everything, and I'm talk to you soon, and take care and stay healthy.
Hey Chris, well, first of all, thank you so much for the kind words, and I hope that the show gets you through your work. It sounds like we are a part of your work day when things are a little bit quiet and you're able to listen. I appreciate that, and we will be here for the long haul. We're not going anywhere. I'm glad you enjoy the show. Thank you again. And your questions. Wow. You guys are killing me today, and I mean that in a good way. This Cesaro thing. First of all, yes, Cesaro is from Swiss, obviously, as you mentioned. And I don't think I've heard someone call him Antonio Cesaro in years. I mean, Vince McMahon just has this thing of killing people's first names pretty regularly. He goes through phases of it, right? He'll go through phases of just slicing people's names over a 6-month span, and you'll be good. And then he'll slice two or three more people and just go, oh, let's just call them this, right? Look at Andrade. He used to have, actually, he had a last name, but it was Andrade Cien Almas. Well, no, he's just Andrade. We don't need all the rest. it's just a thing, right? So I think you are onto something there. I've said it many times on this show. I've had co-hosts on that have mirrored what I thought about Cesaro, about him being one of the most underutilized stars in WWE history. Now, if you're saying that he is the single most underutilized star in the history of WWE, saying definitively that he's the one, not one of, you probably have an argument there. You probably have an argument, but I will say this, without being definitive that he definitely is, I will say he's one of. So I'm kind of giving you a cop-out because I know there's people I'm probably not thinking of that I want to make sure I give the respect to that, oh man, they should have used so-and-so to do this or this or this. And so I'll say he's one of. That is no doubt that he is certainly in, like, at least in my mind, at least one of the top five guys that WWE has underutilized. One of the strongest guys, one of the best in-ring performers that they have, and has never been a problem for WWE. They've never had to worry about him from getting in trouble or making the company look dumb or putting himself in a bad situation to get bad press, whatever. That's not him. And it's also pretty telling, and I've said this many times on this show, if you've listened, that when Vince McMahon went on the Stone Cold podcast 5-6 years ago and came on, and when Stone Cold asked Vince, what's going on with Cesaro? Why is this guy not getting a main event spot? And Vince admitted that his connection with the audience isn't what it should be, and that maybe he's not where he could be or should be. And his reasoning was that he just doesn't have the charisma. And this is what I'm quoting. And that in terms of promo style, he's not where he'd like to be. We'd like him to be. And maybe that's because he's Swiss with the European style. I'm paraphrasing this, but that's pretty damn close to what Vince said. That the reason he's not connecting is because of his charisma, a lack of charisma, and also because he's Swiss, and there's apparently, unless I'm wrong, I'm not from Europe, obviously I'm from the States, but apparently there's some kind of thing out there in the ether called a European style of promo. Does that really exist, or is that just a Vince McMahonism? I don't know. I have a feeling that it's probably not a thing, and it also really alienates a portion of your audience that is from Switzerland. How do I know that? Well, we have a listener from Switzerland. So clearly there's more than just one person that's watching WWE there. Not a good thing. Not a good thing to say. But that phrase has stuck with me forever from Vince. And I don't know why they're not doing much with him or giving him a real opportunity. And yeah, he's got the tag team championships with Shinsuke Nakamura. But in terms of that like real run as champion, hasn't existed. And I've said for a while, he feels like a Daniel Bryan story. He feels like a Daniel Bryan story waiting to happen. So we'll have to see. Edge versus Cesaro? I'd love it. Yeah. I would think that Cesaro would play the heel in that particular role. And you know what? Cesaro, I don't think, has really found his gimmick yet. He's gone kind of from this generic, strong Superman, Swiss Superman, to a James Bond, to a Bar, to just kind of back to Mr. Generico with Shinsuke Nakamura. So, I don't know. Maybe it's, I don't think it's a lack of effort on his part. Maybe he doesn't know how to portray his personality up to 10. I don't know. But Edge versus him, that'd be a hell of a match. Zelina Vega and Aleister Black versus Alexa Bliss and The Fiend. Boy, I don't know how I missed this one. I don't know how I didn't ever think about it. But with Zelina Vega and Aleister Black, who are a actual married couple that is not public on the Raw, but well-known among fans, versus Alexa Bliss and The Fiend, wow. That is, if they don't do that, they're missing out. They are really missing out. First of all, I would love even individual matches with Zelina Vega and Alexa Bliss or Aleister Black and The Fiend. There's a big match, a big money match waiting for that. Even a tag match, but individually as well. That is awesome. Really good suggestion there. I'd actually pay that. Like if WWE charged you for that pay-per-view, even though I have the network, I would pay it. Because there's really a story there that would be really well written. Not that any of these four individuals have history, but the character, the similar characters. And I think Zelina Vega and Alexa Bliss would be tearing the mic up. That would be awesome. So again, Chris, thanks so much. Looking forward to hearing from you again. And you also enjoy your day or night whenever you may be listening to this. Okay, final voicemail, and then we're going to get to Raw.
Hey, it's Josh again from Texas. Sorry that I spanned this out over three voicemails, but yeah, I'm a little long-winded. And so I was talking about Mustafa being the leader of Retribution. I think that's a good move because I feel like as far as since I've been back, he hasn't been in it much. And then talking to other people, he's kind of been not utilized very well. So I think it's a good placement. Here be it that it kind of seems like it's the last ditch effort to somehow appease the fans. Nonetheless, I think it's going to be a good little feud that they'll have there as well with Hurt Business. So I'm excited, a little bit more excited, not much for that. And then a couple more final things. Kevin Owens versus Fiend, I'm all for, but I'm not sure that that's going to, I don't know what they're going to do with that past Friday night's match because it seems like he's still feuding with Aleister Black. But I would be pretty for him and Fiend having a feud because like I said, I haven't been back that long, and I love seeing The Fiend just because he's different, and he reminds me of, you know, Kane, Undertaker, and it's just that dark part. Anyway, and then the final thing that I wanted to, I guess, talk rant about is something that I'm really, really hoping is happening with the whole Dominic Mysterio. I'm really hoping that he forms a tag team for good with Umberto because every match that I've seen Umberto in, I've really enjoyed, and I feel like they're not using him enough. So if they are using Dominic this much, maybe they'll turn it into a tag team and they'll be used more and maybe be able to rival the Street Profits and everybody. So, yeah, that's a little bit of what I've got to say. I'll have to try and call back again, but you have a good one, and I can't wait to listen to your podcast tomorrow. Hopefully this got to you in time.
Hey, Josh, thanks again for calling in, as always. And yes, I did get your other voicemails, but I did choose your last one. So I give everybody 3 minutes, and it's only fair. But I did get your other ones, and I did listen to them, I promise. But I want to address your last one here, and I want to talk about Mustafa Ali. I know this is a little bit of a Monday Night Raw review, but we're starting to get into the actual review portion of the show here. And yeah, I mean, having Mustafa Ali as the leader, the whole thing revolved around him. He's the one that apparently organized it. He's the leader. He's the guru of this group. I'm very interested to see, number one, how they come up with that explanation of why he did what he did. You know, like, why he wasn't the one released. Last I knew, he was this super goody-goody character that, if you remember, maybe some of you don't, and that's, it's because it happened in the blink of an eye, but it did happen. For a few weeks, WWE was putting out, and this is several months ago, before the pandemic, of Mustafa Ali, who was, you know, trying to make sure people could better themselves and was helping alcoholics just heal themselves and be your better self and all this stuff. He was walking on the street. Remember those? He was walking on the street like it was dawn or dusk or something and talking about how it's he's there to help people and all this like feel good stuff. And that got dropped. So it's probably irrelevant, but striking difference from that to basically heading up a group that is represents a really, you know, violent group in real life right now. And I'm not going to start getting into that, but a very striking change in character for Mustafa Ali. So this is certainly a great opportunity for Mustafa Ali. Regardless of what you may think of the Retribution group, and you guys know what I think about the whole storyline. The storyline's been absolute trash. I'm not saying the group itself is. I mean, the names of Mace and T-Bar and all that. I mean, it sounds like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the leader was Shredder. I mean, those of you that watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles know what I'm talking about. It's the names of this group are like a bad 80s villain name. Really? Think about it. It's just ridiculous. But I'm not disparaging anybody that's in the group, but the storyline, coherence, and logic has been absolute garbage. But with all that said, Mustafa Ali, even though it's garbage, this is the best opportunity he's had in his career. And he instantly changed character this past week on Monday Night Raw. He changed his demeanor when he was revealed as the leader of the group. And this is a huge opportunity for him, regardless of how terrible the storyline's been. So I'm rooting for him. I mean, I really am, because he had something there. He became instantly more interesting. He became infinitely, is what I was trying to say, infinitely more interesting in a split second than he has his entire career in WWE. So I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for the storyline to work. But my God, does WWE not care about detail? They just don't, because they you know what? I don't want to believe that WWE thinks wrestling fans and their fan base are fans that are either not smart enough to understand that there's a massive gaping hole in the story, or that they just don't care. Maybe wrestling fans, maybe they'll say that, well, our fans see it, but they don't care. They just want to be entertained. Well, here's how we be entertained. Here's how we are entertained successfully, is when you care about the detail enough to tell a good story. Not that we're complacent enough to be okay with just the expectation that WWE is never going to tell a full story and include details. Big difference. So, okay, moving on. I think I've said my piece there. KO and The Fiend. This is a strange one. A strange pairing that I never saw coming. And I don't know what to feel about it. I'm conflicted about how I feel about The Fiend and Kevin Owens. I mean, I don't know what the beef is with The Fiend attacking Kevin Owens last week on SmackDown. I don't know what his beef was with him. I mean, Bray Wyatt had his Firefly Funhouse this week. Oh, by the way, he's on SmackDown. So there's another one that, well, what the hell is he doing on Raw? Of which no one cares. I mean, but I digress. He just called him his friend and his friend and his friend. And no real reason why he was attacked. And Kevin Owens said he's not going to let him get to him. But, you know, just the same thing everyone has seemed to have said over the last several months of facing The Fiend. And Kevin Owens went hunting for the Fiend on Raw. So, I mean, you know, like, I'm very kind of neutral on this because I like Kevin Owens. I like the Fiend. This story doesn't seem to have the teeth nearly that the Braun Strowman one did. And I don't know what the end game is. If the end game is to change Kevin Owens into a heel, well, eventually you're going to have to stop changing characters into heels or there'll be no baby faces left. So, I mean, in general, though, I will say, having a higher baby face, or excuse me, a lower number of baby faces on your roster actually benefits the baby faces because there are fewer of them. I think it doesn't always have to be 50% heel, 50% baby face. I think there should be a feeling that there is an overwhelming amount of heels, or more heels, I should say, not overwhelming, but that there needs to be somebody to stand up and fight these heels and even the odds. So I always do like the feeling that there are fewer, because when there's fewer of something, simple economics would tell you that it's more valuable. So, all right, Dominic and Umberto as a tag team, yes. As Daniel Bryan would say, yes, 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 please. I do not want Dominic anywhere near sniffing or even looking at a championship right now in terms of a singles championship. If he wants to sniff around the tag team titles, fine. The tag team titles mean about as much as you know buying a tag team title set off of WWE.com, WWEshop.com. Like, that's how much they mean right now. I mean, I may be a little bit dramatic, but the WWE has never centralized the focus of their storylines on tag team wrestling. So if they don't care, why should I? And the Street Profits are not my favorite tag team. I find them extremely obnoxious. And they're really good in the ring. Don't get me wrong, especially Montez Ford, really good in the ring. But man, they're not. They are a heel team waiting to happen. I don't know why they're presented as a babyface team, because they're energetic. And Montez Ford carries a solo cup, which is symbolic of college years and beer pong and flip cup. And like, what? I'm not following the likability of these two, other than they're flamboyant and bombastic and they have charisma. Like, I mean, is that what Vince sees? To me, they're a group that is obnoxious, that's bad at comedy. That's why I see the Street Profits. But if Dominic and Umberto want to sniff around the tag team division, hell, certainly the tag team division could use another team. So I'm all for that.
You're listening to the WWE Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
Are you in a position where you need to sell your home? Perhaps you're facing financial difficulties, or you're facing a foreclosure, a divorce, or maybe you're just relocating because of retirement. Maybe there are some other debt issues and you just need to sell your home. Well, here is a great solution for you. And that solution is Bright Realty Investment. They are a leading real estate solutions company, and their mission is to work hand in hand with all parties to handle every situation with the utmost professionalism and care. So if you're in a particularly stressful financial situation right now and you need to protect your credit, then don't waste another minute. Head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com. That's brightrealtyinvestment.com. And when you go to the website, there's a really easy form you fill out. It's right at the top, and they'll get back to you immediately. So why wait? Don't let that divorce, that retirement, or other bad debt situation take control of your life. Take control back and head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com, where they can buy your house, protect your credit, and get your life back on track. Again, head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
All right, well, let's dive into Monday Night Raw, because it was a pretty eventful show in which you heard some of the things and some of my opinions actually during the voicemails, which is good. I mean, I'm 44 minutes into the show already, and you're probably like, oh my God, he named it the Raw Review, and he hasn't talked about Raw at all. Well, again, I did a little bit during some of the answers, but I want to dive a little deeper into it. And the first thing I'll say is what closed Raw. Randy Orton getting the victory over Drew McIntyre. This was a really good match, with the Street Profits teaming up with Drew McIntyre to take on Randy Orton and Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler. really good match. I mean, I didn't hear much from Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode about why this match is important, why this is happening, but it was really focused on one rivalry, and that was Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre. And the closing sequence was really good. I actually bought into the Street Profits beating Randy Orton. I felt the rage. I felt the rant of epic proportions boiling up inside of me, waiting to be unleashed on that two count. And I see the hand go down, and Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler broke up the count. If they had beaten Randy Orton there, this would have been a very different podcast. It would have been about 50 minutes of just nonsensical rant. It would have been much different. But it didn't happen. And Randy Orton, after Drew had kicked the heads off of Robert Roode and Ziggler, hits the RKO for the win and escapes. I loved it. This made me despise Randy Orton again. Not to the level that he was at his hottest, but it added what it needed to add, and we need more and more of this. I don't think we'll ever see the run that we did where he just continually was able to escape, and he's the one kicking people's heads off. No one was able to get to him. No one could even hit a finish on him. I mean, I'm talking that kind of nuclear heat. And it's a start. Randy Orton's heat is like no other, and Randy Orton gets the victory. So that was a good match. It was a nice way to make you want to see Randy Orton once again get revenge on Randy Orton. Drew McIntyre get revenge on Randy Orton. So one thing we didn't see was an update on the Legends. I mean, these guys are, you know, a combined age of like, you know, 200 years or 250 years old. I mean, when you add all their ages together, maybe more. And I don't know why we didn't hear anything. I mean, are they okay? Especially Ric Flair. I know it was an attack that was in the dark, which was a nice review by Randy Orton at the beginning of Raw to talk about what each person did when he attacked them. It was very sinister of him. But it was also very convenient where WWE could tell their own story because it was a dark room. You could just do whatever you wanted without repercussion because there's no way to prove that he did or did not do what he said he did. Which is fine, creative, great. But no update on the Legends? Did anyone care to say, hey, all are fine and recovering at home? I didn't even get that. But I was fine with the way Randy Orton opened Raw. I think it was something different with him sitting there in a chair and just gleaming over what he did to the Legends of Ric Flair, Big Show, Christian, and Shawn Michaels. So It was a nice touch there. Kind of jumping around a little bit to Shayna Baszler and the women's tag team match. The women's tag team title match, more specifically, with the Riot Squad, two-thirds of them. Sarah Logan is obviously gone from wrestling completely. Not in WWE, just she's done with wrestling. We had Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan against Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax for the WWE Women's Tag Team titles. And I gotta say, I do like the team of Nia and Shayna in a heel role. I don't want to ever be told I have to like these two. They're very unlikable, particularly Nia Jax. And having Shayna Baszler do what she did to Ruby Riott, looks strikingly similar to what she did to Sarah Logan and I forget another person that she did it to, breaking their arms. I think that's exactly how she broke their arms. And yet, the referee didn't do anything here. To me, this would be an injury stoppage. Referee didn't do it here, but it wasn't even sold as a broken arm. And Ruby Riott decided to use it several moves later. And it just kind of speaks to an overall lack of selling in as a whole for the industry of pro wrestling. They hold their arm for a few minutes, and the next thing you know, they're using it to do like a one-arm handstand, right? Like, it doesn't make any sense. They'll like nurse an injury, and then, you know, a few minutes later, they're doing a full use of that limb that had apparently been destroyed just a minute or two earlier. So, whatever. I mean, it's fine. I will say this. I do like that Shayna Baszler is being portrayed as more of a vicious, nasty type of character again, that the focus seemed to be on her. I don't like how that move that she did was not sold as breaking her arm. It was just kind of another move in the match. And yeah, it looked bad and the announcer sold it well, but it didn't end anything. I mean, for all the referees' stoppages lately, or they're really, I mean, I should say, not even just stoppages at their own will with Asuka and Mickey James several weeks ago in the Women's Championship match, but also they're just random allowances of turnbuckles being okay and hand sanitizer being used in a match. But hey, if you want to break someone's arm, it's all you, man. It's all you. It's just insanity. There's no consistency on the referee side of this at all. And I don't want to have to be thinking about a referee's end of things, because that means WWE is not doing their job. So I digress. So Shayna and Nia Jax retained the women's tag team titles, as they should. And it looked like they were completely outmatched. It looked like Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan were completely overmatched. It didn't even look competitive most of the time. So that kind of begs to answer the question of who's actually able to take these two down. Is there anything? I don't know. Or is there anyone? I don't know. But moving on to Buddy Murphy and Seth Rollins. I will say initially, this program, after I thought they were done, I'm like, okay, good, these two are split. And why did I think they were split? Well, Seth Rollins had just beaten the holy hell out of Murphy a couple of times. Not just once, but like twice. Beat him up, slammed his head into a cage door, and apparently everything's hunky-dory the next week on Raw, with a little hesitation from Murphy. And I'm like, wait, how are these two still together? I mean, how much more needs to happen for these two to split up? I mean, he was just beating the hell out of him. It's over, right? Nope. They strung it out a little bit more to bring in the Aaliyah thing, who has a romantic interest in Murphy. And the whole narrative for Murphy and Seth Rollins throughout the entire show was, you should apologize to me. No, you should apologize to me. Ultimately, Murphy did not apologize to Seth Rollins. Instead, he beat the hell out of him and got a decent measure of revenge with the kendo stick. And then Seth Rollins played on the emotions of Murphy after he complied with Murphy's request to tell Aaliyah, I'm sorry. He did, and then Seth took advantage of a kind of a heart-strung type of moment from Murphy and beat him pretty badly. And that was a good moment because, like I said, originally I was like, oh my God, this is how are they still together? Like, this isn't a breakup. They're already done. And they strung it out good. Like, whoever wrote this for last night, it was well done. I liked the way that it worked out, especially the end with Murphy showing some resentment or some hesitation after Seth gave him what he wanted, and then Seth made him pay for it. So here's the thing. I could ream out Murphy in terms of a character perspective of being that dumb because of allowing Seth Rollins to do this to you, knowing that you just spent the last how many months with this guy and you don't know that he's capable of doing this or he would do something like that. Yet at the same time, Murphy, this is the first time it's happened to him. First time, shame on you. Second time, shame on me. So if Murphy gets outsmarted by the heel Seth Rollins again, I will not be happy. But I'll let it slide the first time. It shows that he has empathy. That's what a babyface is looking for. And Murphy's a very likable guy. Certainly, this is a big moment for him in his career. And Seth Rollins needed someone new to work with anyway. So Murphy kind of fits that category very well. Murphy can work with anyone. You see how good he was with Aleister Black? I think he'll be pretty good with Tyler Black. Kind of a throwback to Seth Rollins' old wrestling ring name. But he will be just fine, and I'm looking forward to this program. This is going to be a good program leading up to Hell in a Cell, which is apparently where this is all leading, is Hell in a Cell. And my God, can the Mysterio family just vanish from my memory? Can Mysterio, like, I'm done with Aaliyah. I'm done with Rey. Dominic, if he wants to just go into tag team and hide there, that's fine. But I do not need to see Mysterio's wife anymore, who comes down like a robot. I mean, just walks down there and doesn't say anything, doesn't emote anything, just a statue can be, and doesn't do anything, and is just there for accompaniment. Which actually, if I was Rey Mysterio, I'd say, hey, why am I putting you in harm's way? stay backstage. It doesn't make sense. Is it because that the Mysterio family has become a weekly fixture that WWE feels the need to put the whole family out there? I mean, are they just going to have a reunion on Raw? Like, why don't they just bring in all the cousins and uncles too? I mean, do we really need to see the whole Mysterio family there for the family drama? I don't. I know that's not the interesting part to me. The interesting part to me is Murphy and Seth, not the Aaliyah stuff. I could care less if Murphy wants to get involved with a 19-year-old girl. I don't care. I don't care. And furthermore, I could care less if Aaliyah is the one tearing their family apart. Yeah, I don't even know if the mom even knows what's going on. I mean, I don't think she does. So, oh, God. Okay. But I am excited about Murphy and Seth. They did a nice job last night of making you feel for Murphy and then making you hate Seth. Oh, they did. That was a really nice, nice job. And really, I think Seth is also probably excited to get away from Dominic and work with somebody that's been a little bit more established. That's what I really believe as well. All right. Well, Keith Lee and Braun Strowman, I mentioned this a little bit earlier in one of the answers. You know, there's nothing wrong with this match on paper. Nothing. In fact, if you looked at both rosters, you'd go, I'd like to see these two match up someday. And I would bet that if you surveyed fans, fans would feel the same way. Yet they threw this match out on Raw with no prior advertisement to this and with no explanation about Braun Strowman coming over from SmackDown as to why he's allowed to be here. I don't want to hear it's unsanctioned. He's still taking up TV time on your show that he's not drafted for. Does anybody else want to see somebody beat the hell out of Adam Pearce? He is extremely unlikable. Does anybody else want to see that? I could see Adam Pearce really realizing his worth, or Vince even realizing his worth as a heel. I think he's trying to play the neutral. That's at least how he's booked right now, is to be that neutral heel authority figure, because so many of us complained about the heel authority figure being overused, and it was. But Adam Pearce is a new face to the game, and having him come out maybe abuse his power every now and then, I wouldn't mind that, because I think the payoff of seeing somebody beat the holy hell out of Adam Pearce would be so satisfying. I do not like Adam Pearce at all on camera. I find him just a face you want to slap. He's always just always confrontational, always telling people to get out of the building. Isn't that security's job? If you're the authority figure, if you're a WWE official, and security and the referees and officials are not taking care of the problem, and you always need to be there, well, somebody needs to have their head roll. It just doesn't make sense. It's like having the vice president of your company constantly coming down and telling the people that shouldn't be entering your building, hey, you know, you shouldn't be in my building. Well, that's not the role of the vice president. I don't know. Okay, I'm getting off track. But Braun Strowman's there, and he is saying that, you know, I know Raw Underground isn't here tonight, but I need you to give me somebody to get these hands, right? Well, number one, positive, no Raw Underground. Raw Underground has been MIA for 2 weeks. So either they're just acknowledging that it was a failure, or they're trying to repackage it. Now, the fact that they're acknowledging it's not there tells me that they have an idea to reboot it, or just bring it back as it was and give it some time off. I hope that's not the case. I hope it just goes away and pretends it never existed. That's my hope. It just was a weird concept that somebody came up with at a production meeting, and Vince latched onto it with no plan, no destination, just let's do it. That's it. And that's exactly what this seems like it's been. And Braun anyway shows up, no security to even stop him. Yeah, no one's even approaching him. Just Adam Pearce is like, you're SmackDown. You shouldn't be here. It's getting tiring of the lack of respect for their own rules. And having Braun Strowman there, fine. Keith Lee then comes up and says, count me in or something like that. And they have the match. And you knew from the very get-go that this was going to be a non-finish match. It just neither guy could afford to lose. Eventually, Keith Lee is going to have to taste defeat. But it was a nice brawl, and having each one lay the other one out, it was a neutral position to take. And that's the way you take this match that was unsanctioned. Which, by the way, what the hell's the difference between a sanctioned match and a non-sanctioned match? It's on TV. You have an official there. The bell rang. You still have the normal rules apply during the match. What's it mean by unsanctioned? Just that WWE doesn't count it as a match that actually happened? I guess that's what unsanctioned means. They're not sanctioning it. They're not permitting it. So I don't know. But it ended the way that it probably should have, with no definitive winner. Now, does that mean I want to get involved in this right away and get into a full bore program with Keith Lee and Braun Strowman? Well, it looks like we probably will. I was hoping this would be a one-off, but it seems as if they will be drafted to the same brand and continue this program, which makes me kind of sad because they could have built this up a little bit more, especially with Keith Lee being so new to the main roster that a lot of fans don't know a ton about him other than he beat Randy Orton once and he's a big guy and he cuts kind of weird promos. That's, if you don't watch NXT, that's what you're probably thinking of Keith Lee. So Braun Strowman's been there for quite a while as a main eventer, and I don't have a problem with this program. I just feel like it's too soon with no build. All right, well, I think that concludes my Raw review, and lots of voicemails from you guys. I know that there was a lot of voicemail at the front end of that show, of tonight's show, but I wanted to get to it because I think it's important to give you guys a voice and save the second half for the actual Raw review. If there's people out there that are like, this is a Raw review, it should only be Raw review, well, skip button certainly helps, doesn't it? Skip button, you can also kind of use your finger to scroll through the audio. Pretty easy to avoid it if you're not a fan of the voicemail thing. But I know that it's going to be a staple moving forward. Like, I'm always going to make sure that I address your voicemails and concerns and questions and rants up front. And then I'll get to the content on the other side of it. Because if I go to the content first, my brain has a tendency to go, oh, okay, I gave you my message and then I forget. So I want to make sure you guys get heard. And I thank everyone for calling in. It's certainly a fun thing to see voicemails pop up on our account here. And that number, in case you didn't get it, is 518-952-0247. Or you can email us at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. You can also head over to YouTube at youtube.com/thewwepodcast, where I do videos a few times a week. And just kind of ranting on certain things that happen. Again, we'll be having a new logo in the next few weeks, new audio in terms of a jingle intro to the show. It's just time to change things up, right? It's time to kind of make it feel fresh, and that's exactly what we're going to do in the coming weeks. And tomorrow will be a wrestling nostalgia night. I've had a few requests for some things and maybe like a Muhammad Hassan part two. That may be coming. I have some other ideas. If you guys have ideas for wrestling nostalgia, send them my way. I may focus on the women tomorrow night. I haven't really done a whole lot of women wrestling nostalgia, so maybe that's what I'll do as I'm talking myself into it. But if you have other ideas, I do store them away for a rainy day. Head on over to your email and just email me at realwwepodcast@gmail.com for anything that you'd like to hear me talk about in terms of a wrestling nostalgia type of topic. Don't forget also, Thursday, NXT review, and then Friday will be your SmackDown, big SmackDown review from a perspective of, hey, the draft. The big draft is part one this Friday night, and that'll be a lot of fun to do with the Botch guy. So head on over to YouTube if you haven't already done so, and check him out, subscribe. And then we'll be back to your week in review this coming Sunday with a co-host to be determined. So, with all that said, guys, thanks so much, and I'll be talking to you soon.